Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Happy Friday, everyone. It's not too bad outside. Hopefully you're getting off work a little early, making that commute to the house, maybe to a nice happy hour to meet some friends for a couple cocktails. Got a good show today. Schmidt is had to get out of town. He had to get to South Dakota for a wedding there. TJ and I are going to hold it down for you today.
Yeah, man.
As usual, TJ Henning on the ones and twos in there across in the other room for me. We'll have a big show here planned. If you want to get in the show, if you want to be part of this Hale Varsity radio show presented by the Nebraska Lottery, you know the number, 466-3776 or 466-ESPN. Or get at me at Twitter, at jmore44, at TJ underscore Henning for any questions, concerns, thoughts, anything that might pop in your head that you just want us to see, answer your questions. If you don't want to call in, hit us up on Twitter, and we will be happy to address anything that's on your mind. Another quick reminder, TJ, right? This is the last day of the 125,000 text touchdown deal.
I believe so.
So, you've heard it be... We've been saying this now for a few weeks. We're giving away $125,000, which $1,000 at a time, five times a day. So,
talking straight cash, homie.
Yeah, straight cash.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, straight cash. So, you hear the word, text back to 77000 for a chance to score $1,000. Listen for a different word each time.
Yep. You listen here at 5 and at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Those will be your last
chances. And we have a
chances.
Word?
Yep. The word will be during the promo, during the commercial.
Oh, okay. So I don't have to say it.
No. Don't worry about
okay.
It,
yeah, you know, it's Smitty's usually running these things.
Yeah. And
So, okay. But that's my reminder to everyone. So if you want to, you know, your
last chance to get some cash.
Yes. At $1,000 there. So that's not a bad deal.
Mm.
Plans for the show. We're going to kind of – last night was a good night of sports, man. You had the Chargers and the Donkeys, the Broncos, mm-hmm. and those sweet – I love the Broncos uniforms. Those were cool.
Are you a fan overall of these Color Rush uniforms?
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Some are bad. Some – listen, I mean, they're cool.
Yeah.
It's something
I like
fun. Yeah, I mean, listen, these Thursday night games have kind of been a bore. I think last night's been the most entertaining one so far because, listen, you're playing – these guys are playing a game – 4 days after they've played one. Like that's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. You're not even practicing. You're just having walkthroughs and getting ready for these things. So, in the Nationals Dodgers game 5 last night was awesome. I mean, Kershaw coming in late to close that thing down. I mean, that was a hell of a ball game. You had the Dodgers coming back and it was in DC. I mean, that was good baseball to watch. Longest game ever. I mean, it went way past the NFL game.
Way too long.
But we'll talk a little bit of that. Ross Azuris, an interview. A pre-recorded interview, so don't freak out and hear it, because Schmidty obviously interviewed him on Monday at the press conference. We'll run that at 425 and give a little D-line talk, my take of what I've seen so far being a former D-lineman. I can't say BCS anymore. It's a four-man playoff or the 14 playoff. We'll talk about that. And, of course, 505, Brandon Vogel. As usual on Friday, the Friday forecast. We'll get everyone's thoughts and picks on the game. Clausburn will make another appearance.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first time, I think, with Clausburn this year. I haven't been in on much of these Friday shows.
Yeah.
I think it's my first time hosting with Clausburn being on.
Ooh.
So I want to know.
I hope he doesn't rip you too hard.
Oh, he will. I wonder what backhand comments he'll have up his sleeve, you know. So a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff to get into. Obviously, tomorrow, big game. For the Big Red at Indiana. Finally, we have a game to react to, get into. I don't like bye weeks that much, man. It's not the same without Nebraska playing, but we finally can look forward to that 2:30 kick tomorrow. It's on ESPN or ESPN2 or ABC, depending on your region. I think if you're in Nebraska, it's going to be on ABC. But we'll get our thoughts, get my concerns. And if you have any concerns, I'm kind of interested to see I've been talking with a lot with people, and everyone is just We are a very pessimistic fan base. I have yet to hear why we would win this game. I've heard so many reasons why.
But are they still picking Nebraska, though? They're giving you reasons why, but they're still picking Nebraska, though.
No.
Really? Okay.
No. Like, they think we're going to flat out lose. I mean,
you've thought that longer than other people. I wouldn't say lose, a tough game.
Concern. I think we win the game. I'll give you my pick, my score, in the forecast. But people I've talked to are just like, they don't see it. I mean, I don't understand the few games I've seen them play Indiana. And Ohio State played them. I mean, they played somewhat tough at Ohio State last week. But let's be honest, Ohio State did not play well. They did not play well at all. Listen, I know they beat Michigan State. Michigan State's not that good. Like, they're not.
They don't know who they're starting at quarterback this Saturday.
Yeah. Michigan State got hyped up again. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. D'Antonio's a great coach. They've had great teams in the past, obviously. But they got bumped up on that hype chart when they went to Notre Dame and beat Notre Dame. Well, you know what? Notre Dame sucks, too.
Yeah.
They are not good. Michigan State's not good. You know, so I see people say, oh, my God, they beat Michigan State at home, you know. Well, if Michigan State doesn't make a couple bonehead penalties, they win the game. And they're not that good. And listen, Indiana, good football team? Yeah. Should we beat them 9 times out of 10? Yeah. I just don't. I mean, the concerns of people with their offense, I think that's – if you want my concern looking at this game, it's our defense. I'm not concerned about our offense at all. I'm not concerned that much. That's what we're doing defensively.
That's kind of what I've been feeling as well.
I don't – because defensively, Fresno State wasn't that was the Fresno State. We haven't played anyone, in my opinion. I think Oregon was obviously the best offense we faced all year.
Yes.
And we were hit or miss there. We played bad against Illinois. I mean, we played pretty bad. I know we made some adjustments. But defensively, that's my biggest concern about this game. But I just look at it – how could we look at all the areas that we should win? Like, I'm thinking of those. Like, how? Give me all these reasons why you think we should win instead of we lose. I know people are gonna say, "Well, if Tommy does this, well, you know what? Tommy's better." People always bring up, "Well, if Tommy does the things he's done in the past, I get it." But has he done it that much this year? No, he's throwing 2 picks.
Probably the best 5-game stretch of his career right now.
That one pick against Wyoming was bad. The one pick against last week Illinois, it was bad, obviously, but. Did it cost us the games? No, I get it. People, listen, you can go down the line. It's just funny how our standards that we have for players here. Like, we think our players, to like almost praise them, they have to do like ungodly-like stuff.
Well, I told you about that one time. I was sitting in the stands at like Rutgers game when we had them at home that one time, and it's just this one lady next to me was expecting an 80-yard touchdown every play.
Right.
It's just, that's not going to happen.
The expectations, I get it. Like, high expectations are fine, but how we just beat up on players and just immediately think that we're not going to play well because of things a guy's done in the past. I mean, do we not think guys can get better?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we not improve as a team throughout the season? Indiana's improved vastly. Can we not improve as a team? And I'm not trying to commit people. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid here, folks. I am the most real. I'm going to call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. We should beat Indiana, okay? But it's just funny how people just automatically think, oh, my gosh, oh, they look pretty good against Ohio State. They beat Michigan State. We haven't played well yet. We're going to lose. Oh, my, what? I mean, why?
Yeah.
Why? It's just kind of frustrating to me, I know.
No, and I've talked to people similar.
Right, and I know people here don't want to get their feelings hurt. I get it. They want to prepare themselves for heartbreak.
Well, yeah. I mean, 17 years without a conference championship.
Right.
It's kind of maybe conditioned
totally
us.
Understand it. But listen, there's a lot of good things with this football team, what we're doing right now. Mike Riley plays well after bye weeks.
Yeah, he does.
Very well.
Kind of like Andy Reid in the NFL.
Very, very well. That's proven. What is Indiana? I mean, Indiana's offense is decent. I mean, I got to pronounce this right. I keep on wanting to say Legao, but it's Lego.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay.
Mm.
Their rushing attack's nothing great. Now what they do good is they make their run game and pass game look very similar, so you kind of get sucked up a little bit in the play action. But
yeah, because you're like, you wouldn't say Legault is like Sudfeld, and Divide Redding isn't maybe Tevin Coleman, but they're not terribly far behind. They're still pretty good players.
I mean, they're good. It's a good football team, but I mean, I'm just interested to see why people. It's just interesting to me. You know, we're playing well. We're 5-0. I get it, but there's always people are always we're not the top 10 team. We're just not. Well, yeah, we are. We can't help the way our schedule is. You can never apologize for winning football games and how the schedule plays and who everyone plays. You can't. That's out of our control.
Yeah. Although I would like college football scheduling to go year by year basis, kind of like college basketball with a non-conference, like schedule what you need instead of like 10 years in advance. We know we're playing Oklahoma,
sure,
but we don't know if they're going to be good.
Sure.
But that's just another argument for another time.
Right.
But I'm with you. I'm not too worried about the offense because some of the key injuries we have are at places where we have a lot of depth.
Right, wide receiver.
At running back and wide receiver.
Right.
A place that could maybe possibly be a little trouble is the O-line, but you know we're getting some guys back there
and
too.
And I will say this. I'm very curious to see how Tommy's move around with this injury, which at first was not that big a deal. Then it kind of went, oh, if we had to play this week,
he probably wasn't
playing. It's like, what? Well, that wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
To now, it's like, what? Because you always have to kind of go back to the last game. You look at what Ohio State had to do against Indiana. Ohio State did not play well. They ran JT a lot and got him on the edges. I think JT ran for like 16, 17, maybe 18 times. Don't have numbers off the top of my head. And they were very successful. Does Tommy do that? Doubt it. But does he run more than 5 times? Yes.
I think if you still want to be successful,
you have to keep him honest.
Yeah, you have to.
So that's if you want to be, if you're concerned, that's maybe a concern of mine, but he's going to be good to go. I've heard reports of a Zigbo potentially now being able to play.
Yeah, he's
nice.
Traveling.
Right.
And should expect to play a little bit. So.
Right. So that's good news.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just funny. I just had to get that off. I mean, we kind of wanted to talk about the games last night, but I don't know. I was just having lunch with some people, and they're just like, I get it. I understand it. I think it's so easy to look at the negative things because, again, you're protecting your emotions. You don't like to get your heart, broken. It's like, if you've been burned once, you've touched that stove one time. I don't want to have that feeling again. You know, it's like that kid that wanted that one thing at Christmas and never got it. So now he's expecting never to get what he wants for Christmas. I get it. You don't like your emotions, but I like talking about how we can win this game and what we have going to win this game. We have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot. Now, do we have to play clean? Yeah. You have to play turnover free? Yeah. Those are givens. That's what. No matter what game is homecoming for Indiana. Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's gonna be a sold out crowd.
They're not a football school.
Is it gonna be a hostile crowd? Probably not.
No.
You know, they're looking forward to what Tom Crean and the Hoosiers are gonna put together for their training camp right now.
Although we were talking about earlier this week with Schmidt, how like. And I think maybe you were there for that show. They've kind of been building towards us, though. They've gotten so close to upsetting a top 25, top 10 team. And, you know, maybe they'll finally get that opportunity here with Nebraska coming in at 10.
Right. Going back to when the schedule came out, and I said I always had this game circled because they play tough at home. They do. Mm-hmm. What they did last year, taking Michigan to double OT, played Iowa tough, played Ohio State tough, even though Zeke ran for like 300 on them last year. I get it. Do I think we're winning by 3 touchdowns? Absolutely not. Do I think we'll be down at one point or another, maybe in the second half, early second half? Kind of expecting it, to be honest. Do I think this team will give you reason to doubt in you? Yep, you probably will. But will they fight back 100%? You know why? Because they've showed it. We're outscoring teams 72 points in the fourth quarter. Now, is that something you want to rely on every game? No. But that's something you can hang your hat on, without a doubt. I mean, that's been the nice thing about this team. Last year, we obviously were horrible in closing out games. Now we're stepping on the gas pedal and pulling away. So I have a lot. Do I think Nebraska won this game? Yes. Do I think it'll be close? Yeah, without a doubt.
Hey, we got John on the line. He's got a question for you. John, go ahead.
Hey, talk about our injuries. What's their injury situation? Don't they have a couple offensive linemen that are out?
Yeah,
that makes a big difference too.
Yeah, I think their best offensive lineman is banged up. Their left tackle, I can't think of his name, but he's an NFL type body, and I think he's been banged up. I don't know if he's where he's at on that, if he's good to go, but I know he's been banged up too. So, hopefully, it'll be interesting to see with them injury wise. I haven't heard anything. I don't follow the
Indiana. I've seen more of our stuff.
Yeah, on social media. But I mean,
maybe they haven't put it out yet.
Listen, I mean, with Lego, he's averaging 292 a game, 60% completions. But you brought up a good stat. You saw he's completing less than 50 on the blitz.
Yeah, and he's been blitzed the least amount of any Big Ten quarterback. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if Banker brings the pressure tomorrow.
And I hate throwing new wrinkles in there because, like we said in the past with our defense, we sometimes struggle adjusting when we throw something new in there and they throw something new. And it always seems like, oh, we just went back to our base defense. And I've been a part of games like this for how long you think you're being smart and you're throwing in a new look and you get gassed a couple times. You're like, screw it. We're just going to play our base and you play awesome the rest of the game. I don't think you have to do anything special, but you're going to have to. Again, if we can get some pressure with our front four, hopefully we are, even though it's been very inconsistent. If you have to throw some, you're going to blitz them. Why not? Get after them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Make them uncomfortable. Get after them and dictate what we want to do instead of them, or instead of reacting to what they want to do. So it's going to be interesting. Looking forward to it. That's, again, 2:30 kick tomorrow, ABC. Big Red, Indiana. My kind of a couple thoughts. I know we didn't get into NFL talk. We got plenty of time. But coming up, Ross Cesaris interview, Cal Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Earlier this week, Chris Schmidt, before he had his kidney stone episode, caught up with defensive end Ross Cesaris. We bring in that conversation now.
Back with Hail Varsity Radio, Ross Cesaris, defensive end with us. Ross, how was the bye weekend? What'd you do?
It was pretty good. I had some time off. The rest of my mind, me and my wife went back home and went to a family wedding.
How was the wedding? Was the DJ worth his salt?
It was all right. Had a good time, so it was pretty fun.
Okay, so you've worked a little bit on Indiana. Coach Riley said you guys did quite a bit of situational stuff, did a lot of tackling work last week. And your thoughts on the Hoosiers as you head up to Bloomington?
Yeah, last week we practiced a lot just on ourselves, getting ourselves better. And, on my film work on Indiana, they're a really good team, probably one of the best we've seen so far. Their offense, well-coached. They don't make very many errors. It'll be a fun challenge this week.
What sticks out to you about their offense? What, when you first either got a look at film or even maybe, I don't know if you saw any of the Ohio State-Indiana game, but just in the glimpses you've had, what's your first reaction? What kind of jumps out?
Yeah, obviously the tempo sticks out a lot. Their running backs are good backs. They'll break some tackles. They have some good moves, and they're good at finding the open gap.
A few minutes here, Ross Cesaris with us, Hail Varsity Radio. When you hear of a 270-pound tailback, what's your reaction?
I mean, that's a big boy out back there, but, you just have to do our job. Can't do too much about the size of the running back, but I'm confident our guys can tackle him.
What's some of the growth you've seen on this defensive line? Some of the younger guys that's playing next to you. I mean, how obviously you're not content, but what are you proud about with this D line?
Just the growth of the young guys, as you're saying. They've been kind of thrown into the fire earlier in the year. They just kind of thrived. Just to point out Carlos, some things that in spring ball or the summer, he was really struggling with. That's what he's flourished with the most. And so that's really good to see, and that he's just continued to work.
Tell me about Coach Perella, how you two have been able to connect and how he's been able to help coach you.
Oh, I think just from the start, Coach Perella and I have gotten off we're pretty synced. It's been pretty great. He knows that I've been here a while, and I kind of know a lot of stuff. That he knows what he can teach me, and what I can teach other guys as well. So, he gives me a lot of freedom But, you know, he's still hard on me and, you know, makes me get after the guys too.
Do you enjoy that role as a guy that might be a voice on that line? Is that something that has had to develop, or did he kind of help coach you up in that aspect?
No, I think the younger guys have always kind of looked to me for a steady reassurance for a lot of things. I mean, it's kind of always what I've been, the guy that everybody comes to double-check if they're doing something right. So, I mean, I think he's seen that, and I think he's just helped me grow as a leader, too.
When he's been hard on you, can you give us a specific example?
Yeah, he's extremely picky. So, I mean, I think he gave me a minus for my fumble recovery because I didn't get a touchdown in the game. So, but no, he's just tries to get the best out of you. So he's going to be very picky and try to get the very best.
Is he, from a motivation standpoint, does he know what buttons to push and when to push?
Yeah, I think, he does a really good job of that. He knows the guys that he needs to get after. He knows the guys that, maybe just need just one word or something to motivate them. And some guys don't need anything at all. So I think he knows he can read people pretty well. And so he's done a good job of that this year.
What's the word that motivates you? What does he use?
You know, we kind of have a thing we always talk about. We can communicate 1,000 words without saying anything to each other. And so he always gives me crap about that. But, there's nothing really he has to say. It's just kind of a look. And, we know what each other's thinking.
What's motivated you from your time as a freshman to now? I mean, how have you stayed hungry? How have you stayed humble? How have you been able to kind of encompass all of your journey to where you're at?
Yeah, through the tough times, I think my family supporting me was a big part of that. I always wanted to get a little better. I think just with the coaching staff, the strength staff, has always helped me stay motivated. And I think it's been a long journey, but it's been great in the end.
Okay, there's 1,000 questions have come your way about the stash, okay? And you're famous. You're famous for your play to Nebraskans. You're also famous for the facial hair. Can you enlighten me a little bit on the birth of this look?
I think it all started on a scout team. Me and Jack back in the day, we had to entertain ourselves a little bit when, things were going too well for us. And, I just kind of, he just kind of motivated me to do it and just kept growing and became a little infamous. And it keeps growing, I guess.
So Jack Gangwish is the reason we have a well-known mustache.
Yeah, he's kind of, he was the first lover, I guess, of it.
What did he just say to you? Hey, Ross, grow a stash?
I think I just kind of had one going it in about every day in our scout room meetings. He'd just say, man, that's a great looking thing you got there. And he just always loving it up.
Love it. Lastly, Ross Tazuris with us. Indiana's balance. Back to football. Sorry, we get off the mustache discussion. Back to football. Their balance. And do you guys feel pretty confident in being able to be better against the run and the tackling work you've put in? Not asking for predictions or anything, but just do you feel better or more comfortable going in against the run to make it be a factor for your defense?
Yeah, that's something we step up and make plays in the run game. They play very lateral in the run game. So being very gap sound and just making plays is very big. If we can stop that, make them a little more one-dimensional, it'll make the game much easier.
Nebraska's in the top 10. What's your reaction?
I mean, that's great. It's kind of almost kind of surprised me because it's just in the beginning of the season we weren't ranked, and you know, some you don't pay too close of attention to it, and it's almost like we've gone jumped up so fast that it almost nobody really realizes it.
Ross, best of luck. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
Schmitty and Ross is Erst there. That was, again, don't be alarmed. Schmitty is out. Schmitty always goes up there on Mondays and gets a lot of those players, and we end up running them through the week, and he does an excellent job of getting those guys, and thanks to Keith Mann and his crew for letting us
get
those
the
guys.
Get,
yeah. The stash. That's something else, man.
So what do you think about the D-line this year so far, Jay Moore, former D-lineman for the Huskers?
Yeah. You know, it's been – it's better. It's better. Expectations weren't enormously high because there's so many – I mean, you had Kevin Reese. That was kind of your guy who's played the most. I know Freedom played a little bit last year. Injuries, I get it. But it's been okay. Do I think there's a lot left to be achieved? 100%. Do I think the D-line group would agree with me on that one? Here's what I like. You know, obviously when you lose guys like Malink and Vincent, your run stoppage ability is going to dip a little bit. But they've been pretty good. Listen to Ross's interview talking about being gap sound against a team that likes to go lateral. I think when you play a team like this, the most important thing in football to me is a concept called setting the edge. So when the team likes to go lateral and kind of get you spread out and you get those cutback lanes, and you know, kind of like what the Denver Broncos did for years with Terrell Davis, that stretch, what Peyton Manning did for years with Edgerrin James, what Peyton Manning did last year with the Broncos. That was a lot of their runs. You get the D linemen going east and west running, and then you just clear them out, and then that running back finds a cutback lane, and all of a sudden it's 5-6 yards at a pop. Well, you have to set that edge to where that you're not getting washed. You know, towards the play, that defensive end has to knock that offensive line up the field and not let, you know, not go down the line of scrimmage. You have to get them up the field, set it. So it kind of just stops the momentum of that play, and it just F's it up. I mean, that's the biggest thing obviously between being gap sound is you have to set the edge and run every play. If you set the edge, and we have improved on that vastly. That's something with Bo's defense he struggled with, was setting the edge because of how he had those guys playing. Mm-hmm. We've improved. So that's going to be a huge deal. Playing on their side of the line of scrimmage, not going east and west, establishing your gap, getting good separation, hands inside, playing with good leverage, having an arm free so you can come off and make plays as well. Because a lot of times, oh, I have my gap, it's taken care of. Well, no. I mean, yeah, you might be in it, but you need to be in a position to make a play as well. So there's a lot to be achieved in doing this. But they played okay. Pass rush can improve. Pass rush can definitely improve. I think Freedom showed flashes. Listen, Ross is a very consistent player. Is he a guy that is going to beat a lot of people? He's an effort guy. I mean, he is. I mean, I was an effort guy too, but he just isn't. We're not going to be flashy. We're not a flash D line. We're more of a lunch pail type mm-hmm. of D line. We're going to show up. We're going to do our job. And we got some young guys to spell behind them. But this D line is going to get better. And they're going to be better for years to come because we're really young. I mean, Kevin Reese and Ross are the seniors. Mm-hmm. So a lot of young guys behind, especially the Davis twins and Stoltenberg and more guys, you know, that were redshirting this year.
Yeah.
So,
and guys, Perel is out recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. So Coach Perel has done a great job so far. Love what he's doing so far. All right, coming back, we got to get into a little NFL talk here. Talk about quarterbacks.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back into the Hail Varsity Radio Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery on a Friday. Friday before the Huskers take on Indiana, 2:30 tomorrow. You know that every woman wants a 1-carat diamond in their lifetime. Sartor Hamann is making it now possible to everyone. Sartor Hamann has Select 1-carat diamonds for only $100 a month. Sardar Heyman is making the dream come true and affordable for anyone. So don't shortchange your sweetheart. Get her a 1-carat diamond for only $100 a month. Check them out, SardarHeyman.com in Lincoln in Grand Island. Go get that 1-carat.
Get her that bling.
It's Friday, folks. It's Friday. So we didn't get into as much NFL talk. We thought we might into that first segment of hour one. But so last night, obviously Chargers, Broncos. Broncos now dropped two in a row. Chargers look like they're about ready to lose a lead again, mm-hmm. but close it out. They had those crazy uniforms on. Crazy cool uniforms, in my opinion.
They almost went full Chargers.
Yes. Well, the baby, you can't. It's hard to beat the baby blues, though. I mean, how?
Oh yeah.
Those are some of the best uniforms in football. So we're at my buddy Scott's house, and a few of us are hanging out watching baseball and football at the same time. And one of my buddies, pipes up about Philip Rivers.
Okay.
And how underappreciated he really is. Like, people don't realize how good he is. And then it just turned into a full-on, like, dude, not like, but like a great, like, argument about one guy's like, oh, Philip Rivers is trash. Like, what are you talking about? And then we got talking, I'm like, well, look what he's done. I mean, he's been in San Diego forever. He's taken them to AFC Championship games only to get beat by the Patriots. I mean, that happens to everyone in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he's elite? No. Do I think he's good? Yeah. Has he had great talent around him? Sure. LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates, good Malcolm Floyd.
Danny Woodhead.
Just going through the past. What's his face? He's now the receiver with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Vincent Jackson.
And they've had good years. They have. But he's got to talk. Okay, I mean, where would you put him in your top five quarterbacks? If right now, if you're ranking your top five quarterbacks in the NFL, we all went around and gave our five, and no one ended up putting Philip Rivers in there. So he got us thinking. I'm stealing this. I'm stealing this conversation for the radio show tomorrow. Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's fun. Because I think the top three are pretty much a given, in my opinion. I think it's kind of like you – 1-2 is you can flip-flop them any way you want. 2-3 is pretty – everyone's like, yeah, you got to put them there. But who you putting in at 4 and 5, I think, is the biggest thing. So I'll give you my 5. TJ, think about your 5. So obviously you can't go wrong with Brady, Rodgers, 1-2.
No, you cannot.
No. I mean, you either or. You probably put Brady 1 just because of success and how much better – I mean, he's might be one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
3. Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, he's a hell of a quarterback. I mean, the Steelers are a good football team. It's probably going to be the Steelers and the Patriots as long as Brady and Roethlisberger are healthy in the AFC Championship game this year. So now it gets a little fuzzy, a little furry.
I think you skipped number 2.
No, I said Rodgers Rodgers.
You flip him around.
Yeah. You can put him there. I'd probably put Brady 1, Rodgers 2, Roethlisberger 3.
Okay.
Now it's like, okay, now who's the 4th and 5th? I put Cam Newton 4, and people are just like, oh, my gosh, what do you mean? They're terrible this year. I'm like, well, he took him to the Super Bowl last year. He's pretty damn good. Has the running abilities. And I know he's struggling. I mean, he's been banged up, but he's a good quarterback.
Dude, he was unstoppable last year. People are forgetting.
He is a great quarterback.
LeBron back there.
Right. You know, he's ridiculous. I mean, he's tough to bring down. Roethlisberger is one of the toughest guys to get down the pocket with one guy. You rarely see one guy unless it's a clean blindside shot.
Yeah.
But he is hard. Roethlisberger completes, and same with Cam Newton, more passes with guys hanging on him because they're so big and strong. So I feel comfortable with those 4, but 5. I'm like, who in the hell do you put at 5? I'm going through. I'm like, no, Cutler definitely not. Andy Dalton, no. Like Andrew Luck. So here's my. So it's like, do I put Andrew Luck at 5 or do I put Matt Ryan at 5? And I know Matt Ryan hasn't been very successful. He's had successful seasons. They've been to NFC Championship games before. The 1 year they got beat by the Niners, who went and play the Ravens down in New Orleans. So I'm going to put Matt Ryan as my top 5, as my 5th guy. I could be convinced of Andrew Luck just because I think he's damn good. He really is. I mean, he has Julio there. and he has some decent talent around him. But that's probably my top five. And people are probably like, oh, my gosh, this guy is a moron. Hey, who else are you putting at five? I mean, honestly, you think about it, the top three are super easy, but it's those four and five.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you putting at your four and five?
So I have exactly the same top four as you do.
Okay.
Brady, Rodgers, Big Ben, Cam. And again, it comes down to, for me right now, number five, who is that guy?
Wait.
And right now I'm leaning Russell Wilson.
Okay. See, that got brought up. So that was a name.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know what? I get what he's done in the past, Super Bowls, been there before. But I'm like, how much of a factor is that defense and Marshawn Lynch?
Fair. But I'd say he's a bigger component than, say, when Mark Sanchez made it to two straight AFC championships.
The Jets.
Yeah, and that was mostly their D.
Right.
I think Russell Wilson is more of a playmaker than Mark Sanchez was, so I think I'm going to give it to him. But like you mentioned, there were some guys at five. Like, how far has Andrew Luck fell?
Well, I mean, people thought he was the next coming of Peyton Manning.
They're still really good, but I think their roster's a mess.
Their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
They haven't had a defense since he's been there.
And they surround him with old guys like Frank Gore and Andre Johnson.
And Frank Gore is good, but I mean, he's not. It's
way past his prime.
Right.
And then you mentioned Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco. He used to be talked about being elite. Mm-hmm. I think Drew Brees is a little past his prime.
Yeah, that name was brought in there too.
But I mentioned him, and then, Rivers could maybe be in there. Sometimes fantasy-wise, he's not that bad.
He's not bad because he does complete a lot of passes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can look at. Like I said, the top four, three to four, but it's that fifth spot. It's like there's a bunch of guys who are like, oh, yeah, you kind of forget about them, but like, oh, but wait. But wait about what? There's something else. What do you think? But
to me, this speaks to a larger problem where, or one's not a problem. One is just where age. Some of these guys are getting older.
Mm-hmm. Like Phillip Rivers is old.
Manning. Like some of these guys are leaving. But another problem is all of these college quarterbacks just doing the spread offenses coming into the league that are pro style and they're not used to it. It's who's going to change first? The NFL? Are they going to convert like they did for Tebow and kind of doing it for Dak right now? Or are these guys in college going to have to learn these NFL offenses?
I mean, I think that's another whole 10-minute segment could get into. That's a great topic. I think you're going to have to change.
Because the NFL product's not looking great right now.
You can't. This is a whole square peg round hole type of deal. You cannot. I mean, you have to evolve. Football is evolving. You know, I know back in the day, you go back to when Nebraska with Osborne. I mean, none of our quarterbacks were playing in the NFL just because of, but I get it. But now it's so much it's spread. Because nowadays, where the recruiting is, and Coach DiNardo hit it on the head on Wednesday, he goes, the spread is a talent, like it evens the talent, the playing field out with talent. Because it just does, and I get it. This is the way you have to play it, and it spreads you out, and it forces you into more man-to-man situations and things like that. So that's a good topic. I mean, the NFL will have to evolve. There's no more prototype passers out there. Those are becoming... they're becoming more and more extinct. So we'll be back here, wrap up Hour 1, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Welcome back in to the Hail Varsity Radio Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery on a Friday. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, hold it down. Do you know that buzz driving is drunk driving? Having a few beers or drinks after work on game day at a party or a special event and getting behind the wheel with that buzz is being impaired. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska are alcohol related. Many of those drivers involved were buzz driving. Message from Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. There's another good game last night. It's just baseball. I mean, baseball, playoff baseball is phenomenal. But game five, Nats Dodgers. And game one tonight between of the ALCS, or excuse me, the ALCS of the Blue Jays and Indians. So that goes down here later this evening. But we got to take a few minutes here and just go over that game. I mean, that was. Yeah, the Dodgers that come back, get the four runs in that one inning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring in Kershaw to close it down at the end. I mean, I love that. I love that when they bring a starter like that in to close out a game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he is. I mean, again, you can get an argument who's the best pitcher in baseball right now. There's a few of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd got to, I mean, if you want to do a top five of best pitchers in baseball, that would be, I don't know. That'd be super hard.
Yeah.
Might be harder than saying who's the top five quarterbacks in NFL, but obviously
for sure.
Kershaw and you're going to see Kershaw and Arrieta. I mean, those, you got to put those top guys in
there. I mean, it was like Bumgarner coming against the Royals.
Yeah. Right. Those, we can just get, I mean, we can give our top five right now if we want to, but.
I mean, playoff baseball has been super interesting. I just can't believe the amount of time it's taking. Like last night was over forever. 4.5 hours.
I know.
And you had that one inning where it was over an hour.
And usually when you have good pitchers, I mean, the Nationals had Scherzer pitching. He's a phenomenal.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a phenomenal pitcher, but it was.
I felt like the game was going fast. It was on pace for like six innings, and then that six or seven.
Because I stayed like the NFL game was over, and I'm just like, this game's only in like the seventh inning.
I know.
Like, why is this taking so long? I know that one inning was pretty long when they
got
dodged
like
all the runs.
The managers have less patience. Like, even if the bring in the pitcher, he messes up one guy.
Right.
He's just not giving him any more slack.
Well, that's the thing is, any morning, when you get to, when it's a one
and
game,
I get pressure's
take it all,
on, but
I
like,
get it. But it's the chess match, it takes time.
But let him face another if it's, if it's a good matchup. Obviously, if it's a good matchup, switch
so,
it.
But. Right. Baseball, but baseball's so funny because of the matchups and the statistics. Like, you got a righty that comes up and he's hitting 400 in the year against righty, so you bring in a lefty. It's usually opposite. Usually, he hits, righties always hit the lefties well. But like got to get a lefty in here now, you know, and it should be one guy, and they'll completely switch it. It's just when you get in those scenarios, you got to do whatever you can as a manager to win the game. So that's why it just takes forever. But
and then the Nats made a charge at the end there.
They did,
but came up short.
It's gonna be fun. Dodgers, Cubs, American League. Sorry, Mike Schaefer. I know he's the biggest Indians fan ever, but. Not that interested in the ALCS, like,
not even the home run swinging Blue Jays.
I mean, they're the firepower there is interesting. I mean, the Indians are hot though. Indians are hot right now. I could see them.
Cleveland's hot.
They are.
Who knew that was a possibility?
I know, but that. I mean, I got to see those Cubs, man. I got to see those Cubs in the World Series. Got to have them.
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah,
I think if you're a Cub fan, I think you wanted to face the Dodgers over the Nats.
Probably in the Giants, everyone you talked to said the Giants was the biggest scare out of all of them.
Oh, for sure.
And we have like one of the biggest Cubs fans coming up here in the next hour, Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. So we'll get his take on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Maybe his top five QBs as well. Coming back, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, bad day!
Hey, bad day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We're getting big beat!
We're getting big beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back at you, hour number two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Schmidt's out today. He's up in South Dakota for a wedding. So if you're just joining in the show, drive it home on a Friday. Hope it was a good week. I know we're looking forward to our next guest. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but it's our own Hail Varsity, Brandon Vogel, as usual on Fridays. Brandon, what's up, man? How you been?
I've been good. How you been, Jay?
I can't complain at all. It's been good. It's all been good. Hey, I got to ask you though, threat level, concern level, game four, Cubs Giants for you this past week.
it was pretty high. Got to the eighth inning there, and you're like, okay, well, this is going back to Chicago, and all of the baggage then comes back. Like you're in a one game playoff, even though you're at home. Et cetera, et cetera. So I was glad they got it done out there. That was much better than having to sweat out a game five.
Do you think the Giants were potentially your toughest opponent of this postseason?
It was certainly the matchup that I was most worried about coming in. Not that I think the Cubs are gonna cakewalk to the World Series now, but just considering where they've been, they're just a tough team. When you look at players, like the Cubs match up with just about anyone, but in terms of teams, which is what wins in the postseason, the Giants were about as good as they come.
Yeah, that was every Cubs fan I talked to says the Giants were the biggest concern. And you guys, I'm a I'm kind of a Cubs fan. I mean, I was the kid that grew up watching all the games on WGN with Dunston and Sandberg and the Hawk, yeah. And you know, and Harry Carey, you know, pounding Budweiser's behind the scenes, singing the seventh inning stretch. But I mean, this year the Cubs have done great against the Dodgers, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, they really have. As a lifelong Cubs fan, I was pretty much uncomfortable all season long. Cubs being this good,
right.
I don't know how to handle this. Like, totally foreign to me. Can we lose some games just so I feel like, so I can knock my own expectations down?
Sure.
But at some point, you're just going to have to like deal with that head on and sort of beat them back. You know, I Boston when Theo Epstein sort of got the Red Sox there the first time. So I did get to see that happen for them. Hoping it'll be our turn this time.
So, folks, me and Jay opened the show talking about a little bit of fans' perception about this game and how it seems to be more caution than optimistic. What is the vibe you're getting from fans about this game against Indiana, and what are your own personal vibes about this game?
Definitely caution is the best way to put it. You know, it's been sort of interesting to see Nebraska fans' reaction as the Huskers, by staying undefeated, have kind of climbed up the rankings. Like, I don't think anyone like looks at that team and says, yes, that's the ninth or 10th best team in the country. But that's okay, ultimately. Like, I think it's good that there are at least a certain portion of the fan base that's out there and says, look, we don't want to be in a situation where Iowa was. Like, we want to have earned this top 10 ranking. So that part of it's good, you know. I think you factor in the injuries. The injuries are the big question mark for me in this one. Like, I don't have any doubt that if Nebraska and Iowa played 10 times totally healthy, Nebraska probably wins 7 or 8 of those games. You know, Seton Carter, he might be Nebraska's best player. Mm-hmm. Getting Devine back, I think, helps a lot just in terms of what they want to do in terms of their offense. Also, having Alonzo Moore to stretch the field is big, too. I come into this one expecting Nebraska to win, but if they do, it's not going to be like, well, they beat Indiana. This is going to be a good win if Nebraska comes out of this one with that.
So, but a lot of those injuries, I would say, are coming at the wide receiver and running back position. And I would say that's where we are most deep. Would you not agree? So you kind of worried about the injuries. Do you know what I'm getting there with saying there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of fine. You know, I wrote a little bit this morning on the website. If you had to like rank these injuries, you know, Jordan Westerkamp might be towards the bottom, which isn't a reflection of him as a player. Mm-hmm. That really is a reflection of Nebraska's depth. In terms of finding somebody who can kind of do a little bit of everything, which is what Jordan Westerkamp does in my mind, I'm confident enough Nebraska can piece it together. You start looking at some of the things that Seton Carter does. I mean, he's just a violent blocker. You know, he can sort of be an explosive player at the tight end position. That sort of stuff kind of gets tough to replicate. And when you look at Devine Zigbo, you know, Nebraska's got three other very good backs on the roster, in my opinion. But none of them quite do what Devine does. So it's a little bit of details, I guess, when you start getting into those injuries.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity Magazine joins us on the Hail Varsity Radio Show. So, Vogue, you are kind of our crack statistician here. Always have something interesting. So we're kind of been talking about the pessimistic versus optimistic. You have a stat that makes you very optimistic about Nebraska, and then counter that, a stat that makes you very the pessimistic that fan of why they potentially could lose this game.
Yeah, I think the top reason for optimism is sort of what happens to Nebraska's defense when it's down near its own end zone. And you have to factor in the missed field goals, which are sort of a little bit of luck, but you've also forced those field mm-hmm. goals. Indiana has really struggled in the red zone. You extend it beyond that, which is typically what I like to do and start counting those things from like the 40 in. They're only averaging like 3.4 or 3.5 points per trip inside the 40. You should be up around 4. Now, Nebraska's defense has also been very good in that regard. So that's a matchup where I think you'll be able to tell a lot about this game. And is it going to trend both ways? Is Indiana coming away with field goals down there? Because they're probably going to move the ball and get down there. Or are they scoring touchdowns? If they're scoring touchdowns, that's sort of a reversal of where both teams have been. And it's kind of how Nebraska gets into trouble. You know, going forward, I think for Nebraska, it's not necessarily a reason for pessimism. It's just something I'm keeping an eye on. Right now, Nebraska's offense really gets by on efficiency. It stays on schedule. It picks up first downs. It's not very explosive. That's okay as long as that efficiency level remains really high, which Nebraska is right now. As you get into some of these tougher games, though, like going 80 yards in eight plays is great, but so is going 80 yards in three plays if you can do it. So you kind of want to be able to have a little bit of both.
What do you make of this Indiana team? Is this Kevin Wilson's best squad since he's been there?
It might be. The only thing that gives me pause about it is that the run game is not quite as dynamic as it has been under him. And, you know, I think people tend to think of Indiana under Kevin Wilson as this sort of high-flying aerial attack. And they put up a ton of numbers through the air. These past, like, four seasons, they've had a really strong run game, too. And I think Nebraska needs to stop that. Indiana hasn't run very well on many teams this year. So Nebraska's basically got to take something away. Indiana's going to complete some passes. They're going to gain some yards. But if they're not moving it on the ground, I think Nebraska's playing the way that they want to play. Kevin Wilson, you know, I thought for a long time he was a really, really good coach. Indiana is obviously a tough situation for football. And I kind of felt like he was doing everything he could. So, you know, just as a football fan, I'm kind of happy to see them because I do think they've taken an additional at least half step. We'll see if they take another full step beyond that. Because you're starting to look at a team that at the end of the year, depending on how you feel about Penn State, could be the third best team in the East.
That's a very, very good point. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity Magazine joining us here on Hour 2 of the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Vogues, I think the injury thing, and I touched on it in the first hour of the show, talking about how the Tommy Armstrong injury, it was kind of a low-key, no biggie, then all of a sudden, if the game was this week, he doesn't play. Then you look at how key him running the ball is to this offense. And I don't think it's going way outside the box and saying Tommy Armstrong is our best player on offense here. And I know you mentioned Seathan, but, you know, this offense is going to go how far Tommy goes. If he is at all not 100%, and we maybe don't see him run the ball as much, is that a major concern for you? Or the fact that we have, you know, you said we're being pretty efficient on offense, that we can kind of continue to do this against an improved Indiana defense, but listen, they're not a top 10 type of defense that we might see here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I would put it pretty high on the list of concerns. I think that Nebraska's going to need Tommy Armstrong to be pretty close to the Tommy Armstrong we've seen. Now, the way you can get around that is that if Nebraska happens to be running ball really well, you know, they throw out Terrell Newby, Divine Azigbo, and a mixture of the other two guys, and they're just moving it on the ground, then maybe you can sort of shield Armstrong a little bit if he's at, you know, 85, 90, 95%. If you're not moving it on the ground, you're probably going to need those yards from Tommy Armstrong. As you mentioned, you know, a lot of this is sort of context. Like, Indiana's defense is now up to about average, which for the past 6-7 years has just been terrible. Like, it was Indiana's going to score 40 points, but they're going to give up 45. Mm-hmm. That's no longer the case. But they're not going to hold you to 10 like Wisconsin might. Mm-hmm. So, you know, last weekend, Indiana, probably its Achilles heel was JT Barrett. And I thought it was interesting that Kevin Wilson and members of their staff came into this one sort of comparing Tommy and JT Barrett in the Nebraska and Ohio State offenses. Because I think that's the surest thing that they're probably going to struggle with tomorrow is the quarterback run game. So then the question for me becomes is, how able is Tommy to carry that out? And we won't really know until tomorrow.
Right. Brandon Vogel joins us of Hail Varsity Magazine. Vogels, I want to take a couple looks around the other Big Ten. I know the big one Saturday night up in Wisconsin between Ohio State. What the line's kind of interesting with Wisconsin getting 10 at home. What do you make of this one? Does Ohio State kind of show up after they kind of looked halfway disinterested in when they played Indiana last week?
Yeah. I've got a lot of faith in the Badgers' defense. I think they'll cover that. Now, if Ohio State comes out and just blows the doors off them, it wouldn't totally shock me, but I wouldn't say that's the likeliest outcome. I think they'll hold down Ohio State a little bit. Obviously a tough place to play. I don't think Wisconsin can score reliably enough to keep up with the Buckeyes. But I do expect them to hold them down pretty significantly from where they've been in terms of points scored. So I'm looking at maybe like a 21-13 game, somewhere in that range.
We got another good game in the Big Ten, Northwestern at Michigan State. Where does Michigan State go for their quarterback? Have they announced it and I've just missed it? Are they going to maybe stick with Tyler O'Connor or go somewhere else?
I think they're considering all options. I haven't seen an official announcement. I came into this season kind of thinking that, okay, Michigan probably is going to be down a little bit. And that was based, they were sort of the flip side of the coin with Nebraska. They won a bunch of close games last year, took them all the way to the playoff. And you can't argue with what that program has done of late. But you start looking at it and you start, well, they've got three starters back. They could be in for another one of those sort of 7-6 seasons where they kind of to reset a little bit. And it looks like that's what they're in store for. Northwestern's getting better, I think, week by week. So both of these teams are kind of coming into this one about where I thought they'd be, which is probably a little bit lower than they were projected. But that's okay. It's going to make for a fascinating game. I think Michigan State, I'm expecting them to sort of start looking a little bit like Michigan State and just kind of gut one out here. But that's another one where if Northwestern came out of there with, a 2 or 3 point win, it wouldn't totally surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Michigan State just is just weird. It's just funny how they beat Notre Dame, and all of a sudden people are like, well, this D'Antonio's doing his thing. They're a great team. And obviously they lose a couple in a row, and then Notre Dame's not as good. So it's kind of it's a goofy year. But, Vogue, since we're not since you're not going to join us for the Friday forecast next, what you got a score for us for Indiana and Nebraska tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, I came into this thinking Nebraska's about, 10 or 11 points better. You factor in home field and injuries, you might maybe knock a little bit off of that, but I'm expecting Nebraska to play well. I'm thinking, I don't know if it'll be perceived this way totally, but I look at this as sort of a statement win if Nebraska gets it. So I'm taking the Huskers 31-21.
I like it. I'm not too far off. I'll wait to give my score. And I think you're a stat guy as well. Mike Riley coming off of bye weeks. People don't realize how pretty damn good he is coming off of bye weeks.
He is. He's good off of. He's good off coming into bowls too. Mm-hmm. So that extra week to prepare, a veteran coaching staff, they know what to do with it.
Absolutely. All right, Vogues, we'll let you get out of here. Enjoy your Friday. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the game and have a good weekend.
All right, you too, guys.
Yeah, thanks, folks.
Thanks, folks.
Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity Magazine joins us, or just joins us, as he usually does on Fridays. His stuff he puts up, whether on the website or in the magazine, is when it comes to statistical information.
Yeah, numbers you need to
is
know.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Every time we've, the last year and a half I've been doing this show, I always have to ask him a stat question because he throws something out at me. I'm just like, wow. And Nebraska's red zone defense efficiency was huge, and he just brought it up, how Indiana struggled in the red zone. Because that's huge. I don't care. I mean, in today's football, it is hard to stop teams in between the 20s. Extremely hard. With fast-paced spread offense, it's tough.
Yeah.
But holding teams to field goals, I'm telling you what, they can do whatever they want. If you hold them to 3, that's not an issue. That's a win in my book. Anymore, teams get field goals, that's a win. If I'm coming off the field, especially after a turnover and you hold them to a field goal, that's a 100% win. So don't get so upset because we're giving up field goals. No, that's a win anymore, in my opinion.
I'm with you.
It's hard. Defenses are at a disadvantage anymore. In football in general, NFL or college, it's becoming harder and harder to defend offense because people want to see points. They do. So thanks again to Brandon Vogel for joining us. Up next, as usual, the Friday forecast. Klausborn will be joining us.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Hail Varsity Radio back at you. Jay Moore, TJ Henning. It's time. It's Friday. It's the forecast. Our weekly Friday forecast is presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. And we're going to talk about some lines that people like to bet on. So it's time.
That's a given.
It's time for the Friday forecast. And today, joining us, we have Gary Novotny of Gary Michaels Clothiers. Gary, how are you doing today?
Doing great, guys.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and usual. Klausburn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here this week. I'm excited that we'll finally be able to get some football intelligence without a certain host mucking things up. So, looking forward to it.
Klausburn, do you have a little bit of a cold? You sound a little ill.
Well, the seasonal allergies are always a problem, but I did spend a couple days in Canada last week where I caught not only a cold, but an urge to put some gravy and cheese curds on literally every meal. So it's been a struggle.
Oh, that's well done. Well done. All right. Starting off, Friday forecast, we have Bama at Tennessee. Bama is a 12.5-point favorite. TJ, start us off. What do you think?
Yeah, I like the Roll Tide in this one. I think the Tennessee magic finally came to an end when they lost to A&M last week. So I like Bama 27, Tennessee 17.
I'll go next. Yeah, Bama's going to roll with this one. I like them by a lot, actually. I see them beating Tennessee by 3 touchdowns. I'm going 35 to 17. 35-17.
Right.
That's my math may be off there, but they're going to win big. Gary, what do you think? We got Bama versus Tennessee.
Well, here you got number one going against number nine. And Tennessee always plays fairly well at home. And they're kind of like the comeback kids. You know, they come back late. They've been out of some of these ball games. So I think this game is going to get closer in the second half, people think. I don't think Bama's going to cover the thing, but they'll win it 38-34.
I like it. Klausburn, your thoughts?
Well, I sort of had a laugh last week when all the talking heads thought that Arkansas would be a tough out for Alabama, because only folks with an SEC education would look at that kind of test and think it were tough. I mean, they're the type of folks that struggle with colors or shapes or animals that aren't tigers or bulldogs. So saying that Tennessee will be a test for Bama would be like saying writing his name in capital letters would be a tough test for Einstein. I'll take Bama in this one big, 41-21.
Mm-hmm, I agree. All right, next game, Ohio State at Wisconsin. That's a big one at night up in Madison. Ohio State, minus 10. Wisconsin's getting 10. TJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I can't believe it's that high. I kind of thought it would be around 5 or 6, honestly. At home, Wisconsin, Camp Randall is going to be rocking. Jump Around is going to be playing. I like Ohio State still to win, but Wisconsin with the points. Ohio State 23, Wisconsin 16.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I think Ohio State gets it done. I like them 28-17. They win at Camp Randall. Gary, what do you think about this one?
Well, I don't think Ohio State's going to be intimidated playing amongst 85,000 at Camp Randall, and they pack it in themselves. And after watching them the last 2 or 3 weeks, they're pretty strong on both sides of the ball. I like Ohio State to run away 45-27.
Mm, big time win there. All right, Klausburn, what do you think about Ohio State-Wisconsin?
Well, I think this time this game will be a good reminder for Nebraskans to make sure they get regular checkups on their hearts. Obviously, Urban Meyer had a scare a while ago, and he's made some healthy choices since then to sort of curb that, including no longer having to go up against Nick Saban regularly. The Wisconsin fans, they're another story. I suppose they're somewhat similar to Nebraska in that a large amount of them gather in one place every Saturday to make the third largest city in the state, only instead of a football stadium, it's a cardiologist's office. So it's a friendly reminder to Nebraskans to avoid that fate and bet Ohio State big. I think the Buckeyes win 31-21, and it's really not even that close.
All right, 31-21 says Klausburn. Next up, the Ole Miss against the Fighting Brett Bielemas at Arkansas. TJ, what do you got?
Yeah, high scoring one here in the SEC. I like Ole Miss 35, Arkansas 31.
Arkansas's not bad, but their defense is a little shaky. I watched them against Alabama last weekend. I like Ole Miss in this one big, too. Chad Kelly and that offense, they get it rocking and rolling. I'm going another high scoring game. I'm going 42-28, big win in Pigsuey Land. Gary, what do you think?
Well, Ole Miss, they're coming off bye week. And Arkansas, they've been fairly good this year. But I'll tell you what, I'm going against trend here. I'm going to take Arkansas in an upset 35-31.
Ooh, Gary Navat with the upset pick. Claus, what do you got on this one?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I was traveling in Canada last week, and I have to say that watching their sports center was refreshing because they were only biased against French-speaking hockey players instead of every school located in a state where the population has more than six different last names. And so I'm not really too well read up on either of these teams because of that. I've been inundated with the different media, so I'll agree with what Jay said. I think Ole Miss probably wins this one. Relatively big, a little bit lower scoring, though. I'll say 35-21 Rebels.
Next game up in the Friday forecast, Northwestern at Michigan State. Sparty's given 5 in this one, so Northwestern's getting 5 points. TJ, what do you think on this one, my man?
Boy, this one is a tough one because, like I mentioned to Brandon earlier, I'm not sure who's starting at quarterback for Michigan State going into this game. I believe D'Antoni opened that competition wide open, so we'll have to see who they start. Maybe they'll go back to O'Connor. We'll have to see. Northwestern kind of playing well, had that nice win against Iowa. Can never count out Fitzgerald, so I'm going to go with Sparty 24, Northwestern 21, so Northwestern with the points.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it. I don't know what the over-under totals on this, but I feel like this is going to be a very low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty similar to the Iowa-Minnesota game of last week, that type of game. I like Northwestern in this one. I just do. They're coming off a bye as well. Fitzgerald's got them playing well. The Iowa game got a lot of confidence. I'm going to go Northwestern 17, Michigan State 14, an upset at Michigan State.
All right.
Gary, what do you think on this one, my man?
Well, here you got both teams, 2-3. And, of course, we know exactly what Northwestern can do. And Michigan State just fell flat the last 3 weeks. They're at home. I'm going to take the better coach, Coach D'Antoni. So I'm going to say Michigan State's going to win 24-14.
There you go. Clausburn, you're up next. Who do you have here, Northwestern and Sparty?
Well, I think it's just amazing that Michigan State has gone from a playoff team to a sub-500 team. I think that's an incredible fall. That'd be like if a lady was dating Robert Redford 1 year, and then the next year was dating a nondescript Midwestern sports talk producer. But I don't think we need to talk any more about TJ.
Okay.
Right. I think I agree with Gary in that I think that the better coach is going to get the win here. But I think that's Pat Fitzgerald. I think he's done less with more, or more with less, rather. Less with more. Sorry, I was thinking about Texas for a moment. But I'll take Northwestern in this one, 17-10.
Okay.
Wow. Clausburn with the shots.
Yeah, here we go. All right, and the one we all been waiting for, the big one, tomorrow at 2:30 in Bloomington, Nebraska at Indiana, Nebraska giving 3.5. TJ, your thoughts?
Boy, I think it's going to be a tight one. Indiana will probably be our toughest matchup so far, just the way the schedule has played out and the way how bad Oregon has been. I like the Huskers in a tight one, 28-24.
Okay, I get you. I think at one point in this game, Nebraska will be down like 21-17, 21-24. But we storm back to get a couple touchdowns. So I'm going to go Nebraska 31, Indiana 24 with the win and the cover. Coming back home 6-0 for Purdue next week. Gary, your thoughts?
Well, I think this line actually opened up around 6 or 6.5, mm-hmm. and it's down to 3.5.
You're correct.
And Indiana, I don't think their offense is that explosive. They've got some good skilled players. Defensively, they're pretty strong on the line. And I think they average only 26 points a game, and they've only scored 30 points twice. And I think we can outscore them. I think Tommy's going to be pretty focused, as well as the rest of the guys. I take the Huskers to cover and the win at 37-28.
All right. Gary Novotny of Gary Michaels Clothiers. That's his thoughts on the Nebraska game. Claus, your thoughts, Nebraska-Indiana.
Well, usually, as you guys know, I like to take a little shot at our opponent or the state they come from, but I was researching Indiana, and they're so aggressively average as a team and a state. I really couldn't find anything, which oddly enough got me frustrated and angry. And so I kind of figured out what Bob Knight's problem was all those years. But as far as the score goes, for several weeks I was picking Nebraska to win 17-38. But since I'm not part of the Remy boys and I'm not a trap rapper, I'll have to change that up this week and agree with TJ. It'll be close. And I think Nebraska wins 27-21. But I'll agree with Jay that we get it done with a couple late scores.
I like it. I like it. That's our Friday forecast. That's the scores. You heard it all. Big thanks to Gary Novotny of Gary Michaels Clothiers. Go check him out. Excellent service and clothes over there. Gary, big thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
And as usual, Clausburn, you be good this weekend, and thanks for joining us as usual.
Okay.
And he's off.
And there he goes. And Clausburn is off. Our picks today are for entertainment purposes only. Between 6 and 8 million Americans meet the criteria for gambling addiction, and many more are affected by another individual's gambling problem. Don't gamble more than you can afford, and if it stops being fun, seek help. Problem gambling is not a bad habit or a normal weakness. It's a serious condition. But with help, problem gamblers can put the game in perspective and make decisions to improve their lives. If you or someone you love has a gambling problem in Lincoln, call Choices Treatment Center 24-7 at 402-476-2300 or statewide call the Nebraska Council of Problem Gambling at 24-7 at 1-800-522-4700. Help is free, so call today.
We all chose the Huskers.
Yeah, I mean, that was
maybe a little cautious, but I think we're all.
Yeah, I think we score some late. I mean, it's going to be. Listen, no one said it was going to be easy.
No, nope.
I think all these games. I think we are just going to play. You know, they're going to be closer than comfortable games. But hey, that's the way it is. That's the way it goes down sometimes. All right, that was your Friday forecast. We're coming back here, Hail Varsity Radio Show. Some more against the spread talk from ESPN.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Jay Moore, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you missed our Friday forecast, shame on you. It was good. Our picks were solid. I feel good about them. Something we kind of were, T.J. and I have been kind of talking about off topic here, is potential to have two teams from the same conference make it into the Final Four, and what conference now is more than likely to get that done. It's become more and more interesting. I think a lot of people were big on Bama LSU this year. That's not going to happen. I for sure see. I don't know how A&M is going to shake out with the SEC, mm-hmm. but I just think Bama is going to be the only one. Honestly, I look at the Big Ten maybe being the only conference right now that might be able to get two in. That's because of Ohio State and Michigan. But it's just weird because how do you, when you don't win your conference championship game, because obviously they're both in the same division. Mm-hmm. How does this shake out? Because it's not fair. So you'd have, obviously, the Big Ten champ, the SEC champ, and then the ACC champ, Pac-12. You have Washington in there. They're playing well. That mm-hmm. looks like they're the favorite so far to win the Pac-12. But the Pac-12's crazy. A lot can shake out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. It's tough.
So I think that's where the eye test comes in. You just kind of have to, honestly watch all these games and look at them. Because it is tough because I think if I had to choose right now, I would say the Big Ten has the best chance of getting two teams in just because right now you have four teams in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could help you with the strength of schedule there. But the problem is with all of these, with some of these teams is they're in the same division. Ohio
exactly.
State, Michigan, Clemson, Louisville are mm-hmm. in the same division. And then A&M and Alabama are in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, A&M's already 4-0 in the conference,
right?
Which is crazy to think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right now, if I had to choose, I'd probably lean Big Ten, but
I don't think it's going to shake out. I still think it's doable.
If Louisville wins out, they right. showed me so much in that Clemson loss. Like mm-hmm. they passed the eye test completely.
Right. Right.
So,
right. It's going to be. I just don't foresee it. I mean, unless Washington, goes and they get they trip up one or two times, and then you know, there you have a two loss team winning the Pac-12, but you have Michigan, who's sitting 11-1, their only loss is a close game in the last season of the last game of the year against Ohio State. If any of those guys go undefeated, like if Washington ends undefeated, Clemson wins it undefeated, Bama wins it undefeated, Ohio State or Michigan wins it undefeated, no shot. You can't.
Yeah,
you can't.
It'd be too hard.
So it's always interesting to think. We had to bring it up, but. Since we had the Friday forecast, though, we'll get into another. ESPN does a good job of kind of their against the spread picks. They kind of break down kind of the games. They kind of have their own Friday forecast, essentially. So we'll spend a quick couple minutes here in this last hour of Hail Varsity Radio. Looking at, we got to stay. We'll start with Ohio State against Wisconsin. Over under is 44. I kind of like the unders in this one for some reason, just because of Wisconsin's D. Like, it could be, honestly, like a 21-3 tight ball game, because Wisconsin's offense isn't that great.
No.
Ohio State's defense, they're good. They're not great. But they I could see it. I like unders in this one. I know against the spread, they pick Ohio State 34-17 by 17. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm with you, because it'd be interesting to see and go back what the over-under was between Wisconsin and LSU, because I bet that was pretty low. I would assume it was lower than this one, but yeah, I don't trust Wisconsin's quarterback play yet.
No.
So
yeah,
I would take
not.
The under in this too as well.
Yeah. Tennessee, Alabama. I know we're covered these games right in our Friday forecast. We're not changing our picks. We're just kind of using this as – we're kind of looking towards the where I would go. I mean, if you listen to me, I don't, I'm not the gambling betting type. I don't do this. I still like Alabama big in this one. They like a closer game than I think it will be. Alabama 34, Tennessee 24.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Alabama.
I like Alabama big. I do.
You like them big.
I like them big.
I like them big last week against Arkansas.
I think 31, 35, 17, that's 18. Mm-hmm. I said technically that is three touchdowns. I'm not counting them. Mm-hmm. So you guys are making fun of me because of my math.
It's all right. Next game they have up, Syracuse plus 19.5 versus Virginia Tech. Give me those points, baby.
Oh,
that's
you got to take.
Picks.
Yeah, you got to take that.
The way Syracuse played against Louisville this year, that impressed me. And I know Virginia Tech is undefeated in conference play, but I still got to see a little more from Fuentes in that group.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Northwestern getting 5 at Michigan State. We covered it. They like Northwestern in this one as well, 20-17. Again, I think this is a very low scoring game. They don't have the over unders here, and but I like this one, very very low scoring.
It's tough to see Michigan State lose 4 in a row, because I mean that's just such a solid program. I mean, D'Antoni knows what he's doing over there.
I know, but when Northwestern's come off a bye, I get it. They're playing better. They win at Iowa. I know Iowa was just coming off a loss to NDSU. So this is a toss-up, dude.
Yeah.
This could be 3 points either way, and I'm talking less than 20 points. I'm talking I don't think this breaks 30.
And then if Northwestern wins this game, it's like, whoa. All of a sudden, we got to watch out for the Wildcats again. It seems like.
Well, potentially, but when you beat them already, so you got that tiebreaker.
I mean, if you take care
still,
of business,
right?
But yeah,
right. We're gonna have to talk. We'll keep skipping down here. Ole Miss -8 at Arkansas. They like Arkansas by 3. See, I like Ole Miss big. I don't know. I'm not sold. I don't know. Alabama. I like him, but don't like him. He looks like Beavis and Butthead to me. For sure.
Oh yeah.
He's a little different, but I don't know. I'm not sold on what he's doing down there yet. Offensively, I like what he does. Defensively, there's kind of a scatterbrain. I still like Ole Miss in this one big, even though these guys at ESPN against the spread got him.
I'm with you on that. I like Ole Miss in that one. And moving down, North Carolina plus 9 on Miami. I like those points in that one. I would go with that one, and that's actually one of my picks for the weekend. Then finally, we have K-State, Oklahoma. Which would be 3 years in a row if K-State were to beat Oklahoma. I think they've beat them twice in a row.
And you know what? And he has their number at Norman. I mean, the old man has their number down there. They play well down there. They just play so disciplined. That's just Snyder's That's his MO, man. Mm-hmm. Teams play, they don't turn it over, don't cause some penalties. And they kind of grind it out. But he's over under 61.5. I mean, Oklahoma can score points. I don't know about K-State. I like the unders in this one. K-State getting 11. I like them as well. I think this is what I mean. In this one, it wasn't a part of our forecast, but they against the spread they got 30-25. So obviously they like Oklahoma. K-State covers, but the unders.
Mm. And for the Nebraska Indiana game, they are highly suggesting taking the over because of both offenses.
55.5. They like Indiana 45-38. Yuck.
Yeah.
I don't think that many points get scored. I don't know. Like, I know Kevin Will, his offense are exposed. I know they can do some things. I know we haven't played well defense. That's a lot of points, man. We give up 45. There's some things to start discussing.
Yeah, that would be defense. Banker's D from last year. Though.
Yes, that's bad news Bears, Walter Matthau style, folks. Coming back, LVRC Radio. We'll wrap down a Friday.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you one final time this Friday. Jay Moore, my man TJ Henning on the ones and twos all day. It's been a good show. Big thanks to Brandon Volga for joining us. Big thanks to Klosmer for joining us as usual. Big thanks to Gary Novotny of Gary Michael Clothiers for joining us for the Friday forecast. Ross DeZuris, big thanks. He was on our show at a recorded segment. But it's been good. It's been good. A lot of talk today. A lot of, obviously, Nebraska-Indiana talk. I give my thoughts. I've given my concerns. I expect them to play well. I really do. But we'll see. We'll see if that game kicks off at 2:30. TJ, what do you got going on this weekend, dude? Anything?
Oh, we got a little high school football tonight. We got a little
Waverly. You're kind of busy.
Yeah, we got a little Waverly Norris. I'm filling in for Schmidt tomorrow morning and then helping with the other pregame shows. So staying busy up until game time tomorrow.
I got golf. I got one last golf tournament. One last big golf tournament. It's a state mid-am tomorrow. Just two-dayer. Looking forward to, zero expectations, but going to play with some of my buddies. Have
nice.
one last go-around before it gets a little chilly. Mm-hmm. And before my kid comes, like this is kind of I have a kid coming.
Like that's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, that's more like Thanksgiving, early December time, when that thing's going to show its face. Don't know what it is yet. We're doing the whole waiting surprise thing.
Ooh.
It's on a piece of paper, I guess, in my wife's purse. So we're going to.
So you're
wait.
Not buying things ahead of time then. Or you're buying like unisex things?
Pretty much. Yeah. Like a lot of grays, white and grays. Like nursery's already done, a lot of white and gray.
Yeah.
You can navy blue. That's kind of, a boy and a girl can both wear that. So, yeah. And if it's a girl, it's not going to be, we're totally not into the whole girly foo-foo dresses, pinks. Like not happening.
All right.
Not happening. So we'll be good. Playoff baseball tonight. Indians. Blue Jays, where's it at? Where's this?
Cleveland.
They have home field advantage.
Mm-hmm. And one of their pitchers, can you believe this, is going to miss the start of game two because he got stitches. He cut himself while working on a drone. He repairs and flies his own drones. He was trying to fix them up. He cut himself on the propeller, and now he's going to miss game two of the ALCS. Are you kidding me?
That's a big deal. That's
a huge
really,
deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, pitching is, that's
like, boy, don't get anywhere near any sharp objects, dude. What are you doing?
Listen, I mean, everyone has the klutziness come out in them, but like, I get it. I mean, I've done dumb things. I always like stub my toe on stuff. I'm guaranteed to stub my toe on something four times a week, like just walking and like.
Oh,
just
for sure.
Son of a. But yeah, this
but
is.
But you're going to enhance your chances of getting hurt if you're repairing a propeller on a drone.
Right. Like, but well, like, what's the propeller? I mean, was it running? Like, how's that happen? Like,
I mean, he's having to fix it, so maybe he's got to get it running.
Did he stab himself with a tiny screwdriver or what? I don't know.
Look, man. Like, Amari Stoudemire punching a fire extinguisher, like, that's out of anger. This is. and stupidity. This right. is kind of stupidity a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean,
you shouldn't be tinkering with that stuff.
I thought
you
might be
pitch.
Like carving pumpkins or something like that for Halloween. No,
that would be idiotic too.
Yeah,
but whatever.
All right, we're gonna get out of here. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. Jay Moore, TJ Henning. We are out of here. Go Big Red.